The following message is from the Neuenborg International Church, Fixing Our Eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
2 days ago, Christians around the world celebrated or mourned Good Friday, remembering the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And of course, today, Sunday morning, is Easter morning. And it is a day to rejoice because of the resurrection of our Lord. But I've always found it interesting that in the Easter weekend, Saturday is often overlooked. You got Good Friday, and then you got Easter Sunday, and right there in the middle is Holy Saturday. And it seems to get the least amount of attention of the three. I guess it's like the middle child of any family, I suppose. And in most countries, Holy Saturday isn't even a holiday. Stores are open. Business goes on as usual. And of course, I can understand why that's the case. Because the events of Friday and Sunday are so dramatic. I mean, the death of the Son of God and the resurrection of Christ on Friday and Sunday, and squeezed in the middle is Holy Saturday. So it kind of gets overshadowed by the other 2 days, and that's to be expected. But this morning, I want to give a little attention to the middle child of this story. Because in some ways, I think Saturday may have been the worst day of all. In some ways, it was probably the darkest day in the Easter story. At least for the apostles, I think. Now, I can't prove that that's the case. We really don't get a lot of information about Holy Saturday in the Bible. But if human nature is the same today as it was then it's my guess that on Good Friday, the apostles were probably in shock, like in any traumatic experience. You know, it takes time for a tragedy to sink in. At first, the apostles' minds were probably racing when they saw their Lord crucified, trying to process what's going on. What does this mean? What does this mean for us now? We just lost everything. Their worlds literally came to a halt. And anyone who suffered a terrible tragedy knows this feeling. If you've ever lost a loved one, a husband or a child suddenly, You get that phone call, and at first it's shock. It's as though it isn't quite real yet, and you're trying to wrap your mind around what has just happened. But the real despair comes the next day, when that initial hustle and bustle and adrenaline has worn off. As terrible as they were, when you get back to your home, that's when the reality starts to sink in. It's the next day when you go home and that loved one isn't there anymore. When you go home and your daughter's room looks just the same, but she's not there anymore. I had a friend who lost his 18-year-old daughter in a car accident. And he used to go and lay in the unmade bed of his daughter's room and weep for hours. This is the bitterness of Holy Saturday, when the reality sinks in of what this tragedy means. And of course, I don't want to take anything away from the horror of Good Friday. It was without question the worst tragedy, the greatest injustice in the history of the world. But for the apostles, I can just imagine that first night being in shock, and that it was the next day, when the sun came up on Saturday morning, that they realized that this nightmare was not a dream. And they were given nothing except silence as an answer to their pain. I have to say that I've really come to love this day, Holy Saturday, more and more. And I am so thankful that it is in the Bible. Because this is where so many Christians are right now, in a way. They have gone through tragedies, whether large or small. And then after the tragedy, to make matters worse, comes silence. Nothing. No voice. No signs. No immediate answers to prayer. You know, you'd expect our Father to comfort us, to answer our prayers. But our prayers seem to just hit the ceiling and fall down again. You look up to heaven for something, anything, but there's just nothing. Just the silence of Holy Saturday. And I know that most of you have gone through these miniature versions of Holy Saturday. Not that we can compare them to the death and burial of God the Son. But in many ways, and in many times in our lives, we have tasted the bitterness of this silence which the apostle felt. And there are a couple reasons why I've come to love this day, this Holy Saturday. First, because it means that we're not alone when we feel abandoned. The apostles felt this same way in the silence. But more importantly, I love this day because we're reminded that they were not abandoned. And Easter morning was just a day away. No matter how dark the night is, no matter how still the silence, for those who are in Christ, Holy Saturday will always turn to Easter Sunday. And the darker the night, the more glorious will be the morning when it comes. And just so we don't forget that, God has graciously built it into his creation to give us 365 reminders of it every year, that in Christ, nighttime will always turn to day. And I also find Holy Saturday encouraging for another reason. And that is, when you read the Gospels, at least the Gospel of John, which we read from this morning, you notice that Jesus had told the disciples on three different occasions that he was going to die and rise again. Three different times he told them. And I'll just give you one example so you see what I mean. So you see that he was not talking in riddles here, okay? This was not difficult for them to understand. For example, in Luke 18, 31 through 33. Oh, this is from Luke's gospel, sorry. And taking the 12, he said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Okay, so this was not a hidden message here. This was pretty clear. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And not just one time. Three times he told them this very clearly. And yet when the time came for it to happen, they were still in shock. They were in despair and disbelief and fear. But he told them clearly. And my first thought is, man, how did you guys miss it? How were you not prepared for it? He told you three times. But of course, it's always easy, as we say in English, to be a Monday morning quarterback, which is an American phrase which probably doesn't make much sense in German, I'm sure. But in other words, it means it's easier to critique somebody looking back from a safe distance. But the irony is that we do the same exact thing. We've all read the Bible. We've heard sermon after sermon after sermon. We've been in Bible studies. Some of us have even led Bible studies. We know the truth. We know the hope. We know the promises. But when it's our turn to suffer loss or illness or whatever, when we find ourselves in the silence of Holy Saturday, we forget every promise. And we're filled with the same anxiety, the same doubt, the same despair as the apostles. We can shake our heads at the apostles all we want and say, oh, they should have known better. But we do the same exact thing. And the reason I find this comforting, which may sound strange, is because Jesus did not reject his disciples because of their doubt. Even though he had told them clearly, he didn't reject them because of their disbelief and their fear. You know, I love Thomas. We just read his story a moment ago. And he's so bold in his disbelief. That's what I find amazing. I gotta stick my finger in his wound before I believe. And I love that Jesus, you know, he doesn't get passive aggressive here. He doesn't say, fine, all right, have it your way. I don't have to prove myself to you. He could have said that. He could have said, look, I told you 3 times already. If that's not enough, if you don't trust my word, then you don't trust me. But he didn't do that. He came to the apostles. And he came to Thomas. We also have his word. That should be enough for us. And yet we doubt. We fear. We question if God really loves us. And so I'm thankful for this story. Because if even his own apostles doubted in the time of Holy Saturday silence, then certainly we are prone to it as well. And also Christ will not reject us. But at the same time, I'm thankful for the apostles' example because we can learn from their mistake here. Okay, they didn't have a gospel story to read and to learn from. We have their story. We can learn from their mistake. And this, I think, was their mistake. That they had been listening to Jesus all throughout his ministry, but they weren't hearing what he was saying. That's the only way I can explain how Jesus could tell them 3 times, and yet still they were unprepared for what happened. They heard the words. The words went into their ears, but it didn't make that 20-centimeter jump to their hearts. If they had just believed what Jesus had said, they could have spared themselves so much anxiety. And I find the same is true for us as it was for the apostles. Very often we're listening to the sermons, to the promises. We're reading our Bibles, but we're not hearing them. It's not making that 20-centimeter jump into our hearts from our heads. We know this stuff, but in suffering, we prove that we don't believe it. And so we just cause ourselves so much extra grief, extra anxiety, extra doubt that we don't need to bear. If we could just believe the promises we have in his word, really get them into our hearts, claim them, trust them. If we believed that for Christians, Holy Saturday will end in Easter Sunday, how much more peace we would have in our tragedies. Not that we would be able to avoid the tragedies. Not that we would be able to avoid the pain of the tragedies that we cannot escape. But what we could escape if we believed is the anxiety that those tragedies cause in the not knowing and in the darkness, in the silence of Holy Saturday. And isn't it really the anxiety that's the worst part of it? We can endure pain, but it's the anxiety of knowing, will this ever end? How will it turn out? What's the end game here? It's those questions that really cause us the anxiety and the fear. But if we could trust God's word and his promise that it will turn into morning, the night will pass, oh, we could bear the pain, endure it much more patiently. This Easter week, I could not help but think of Dominic and Linda Odhiambo. They are a missionary family that we support in Kenya. And they were so excited for the birth of their first baby. They had told their families about the baby's coming and made all the preparations at home. And 2 weeks ago, I got a text here in my office while I was working, that after 8 months of pregnancy, the baby was strangled to death by the umbilical cord in Linda's womb. And, you know, I'm sure that at first, when they first heard that from the doctor, the news because the baby had stopped kicking and stopped moving, and Linda wondered what was wrong and went to the doctor, and the doctor told her the news, that at first for them it must have been just shock. Now, as we said, what just happened? How could this happen? All right, who do we need to tell? How can we take care of Linda's immediate medical needs? At first was the adrenaline, which comes with the shock. But the real darkness comes now. Just on Thursday, they came home from the hospital finally, when Linda was cleared to come home. And now when they get back to their homes and they see the fresh, unused baby clothes that they had bought lying on the bed. When they see the painted nursery and the unopened toys. Then comes the Holy Saturday, which they are feeling now. And they're probably asking God questions and probably not getting any answers. But I keep saying to myself, praise God that He chose to call their child home so close to Easter, so that they might be remembered that this Holy Saturday that they are experiencing will not end in darkness and doubt and despair. It will end in resurrection. Because on Easter morning, Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered the grave. And because He conquered death, they can be certain that one day they will see their child face to face. Yes, they have to wait. And yes, this pain will be real and it will not pass easily and probably not ever. They will bear the scar of this their entire lives. And I know this because my sister Katie was born dead after 9 months. And 42 years later, my mom still gets teary-eyed once in a while when talking about her. But when our Lord Jesus stepped out of the grave on that Sunday morning, He gave us a certain hope that every Christian can hold on to. That one day the silence will be broken, the night will turn to day, and we will see their voices, hear their voices, we will see their faces, and Katie and my mother will finally get to hug. And so will the Odiembos with their 8-month-old daughter. Because our Lord destroyed the power of death on Easter morning, we have this certain hope. You know, we all have tragedies ahead of us. We can't avoid that, not in this life. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said that Jesus took the sting out of death for us. Yes, it's still a terrible thing. Yes, it's still annoying. Yes, it's still in some ways fearful. But now death does not have the final word for the Christian. For us, death is just a door from life to life, from broken life to eternal life, full of joy, peace. And so Christ on Easter morning robbed suffering of the anxiety which plagues our tragedies so terribly. He took away the intimidation that suffering has for us. Not the pain, but the intimidation. So that we can endure the silences and the nights, knowing that Easter morning is only a day away. Amen.